in love with Him over and over again. If you heard what you heard last night, you'd have to fall madly in love with Him. Wasn't the word of the Lord outstanding last night? Do you appreciate the grace of God in your life? Amen. What a privilege it is to be back in the house of the Lord this morning. Isn't it good to be in church? Isn't it good to want to come to church? Aren't you glad you've got a desire to come to the house of the Lord? Won't you turn around, shake somebody's hand, give them a big smile, tell them you're glad to see them in the house of God today. Play a little bit over it, boys, if you will. Good to see you. Bless you. Good to see you. Good to see you, buddy. I love you. Good to see you. Love you. Good to see you, buddy. Good to see you. God bless you. Good to see you. Little Willis, God bless you. It's good to see you, buddy. Eddie, God bless you. Good to see you. I keep falling in love with Him over and over. Blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the Lord. Amen. Let's look at our prayer request. If you don't care to stand with me just for a minute. Sister Margaret Wilkinson wants us to remember her neighbor Steve. He's very ill with a pneumonia. Doesn't know the Lord. But he was very touched that we should pray for him. So let's just ask God to heal his body, heal his soul while he's doing that work. We know he's able, don't we? I want to pray for Brother Joel Moyer's daughter. She's been into the emergency room several times this week, so let's remember that prayer request as we pray. Sister Martha Sacker sends this in to please pray for a 14-year-old boy by the name of Caleb, who has been missing for over 48 hours. Also, please pray for a 4-year-old and a 6-year-old boys whose mom passed away this past Monday. They are being separated and are both going to be living in very bad situations. So they're asking that we would remember those children in prayer. The Lord, just be mindful of them. Urgent prayer request for the sister of Kenneth Walker. He is a pastor in Juliet, Illinois. His sister has lung cancer and possibly brain cancer as well. Thank you for all of your prayers. So we certainly want to remember these needs today. All the unspoken prayer requests, we've got folks in our local assembly that we just want to commit them to the Lord and ask God to be mindful of them as we pray today. Aren't you glad that we're serving a God that's so mindful of all of our situations? Brother Lance and Sister Erica's children, want to just continually remember them in prayer, that the Lord would help those little girls. That's just a sweet family, isn't it? Amen. Let's just pray that the Lord would be mindful of them. Let's sing a little chorus before we pray this morning. Brother Harry, let's thank the Lord for what He has done, for what He is doing, and for what He is going to do. How many of you know that we're building blocks? What we heard last night, if we'll apply that to our life, we're going to be a lot better Christians if we'll just apply that word to our life. How many of you want to apply it? Amen. Let's sing that chorus this morning. We want to say thanks, thanks, I give you thanks, oh, Amen. Amen. Brother Joel Yance, would you come this morning? I want you to pray over these prayer requests. Let's invite the presence of our Lord into this service today, asking Him to just come and have the preeminence in this service and in our lives today. Appreciate Brother Joel, don't we? Amen. Amen. Brother Joel, God bless you. Lead us to the Lord this morning.
Let's bow our heads. Lord, we do thank You this morning for the many blessings that we have in our lives, Lord. We could start right now, Lord, and just go through eternity thanking You, Lord, for the health of our family, our children, Lord. I want to ask You, though, this morning, Lord, for the ones that's amongst us, Lord, with very serious health concerns, Lord. I pray that You'll help them, Lord. Help our faith, Lord. Help their family's faith. And just give us a peace, Lord, as they go through these situations, Lord, just to trust in You. Each request that we heard this morning, Lord, some very serious requests, Lord. We lay them all at Your feet this morning, Lord, and we ask You, God, just to have Your perfect will, Lord, and let us have perfect faith for Your will, Lord. And just be with us this morning, each person here, Lord. It's our desire to leave here just closer to You, a better Christian, Lord. We've done that for years now, Lord, and every time that we've come, we've had the opportunity, Lord. It's here, the opportunity for us to leave here closer to You and more like You, God. Don't let us miss that opportunity this morning. And let us apply ourselves to the service, and we'll give You the honor and the glory for all things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Brother Joel. God bless you. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we're going to receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're visiting today with us in the service, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. Let me make a couple of announcements. Sister Brenda Collins. Sister Brenda, raise your hand. Everybody probably knows who you are, but says she's going to be leaving us for Olympia, Washington on Monday, February the 6th. Just want to thank everyone and let everyone know how much I love and appreciate the time that we have spent here at Happy Valley. I will miss everyone. I will be streaming the services. Sister Brenda, God bless you as you journey to that part of the world. May God bless you. Also, we want to welcome a family that has moved here to be part of our local assembly, the Green family. Brandon, Amy, and Josiah, where would those folks be this morning? Would you raise your hand? Would you raise your hand? Let's see. Right back here. Give these folks a nice hand this morning. God bless you. Amen. Trust that your journey with us will be a pleasant journey. Isn't it good to love one another?
Yes.
Aren't you glad you love the Lord?
Yes.
Aren't you glad He loves you too?
Yes.
Amen. Let's sing a song this morning. Something keeps holding me. Aren't you glad you know what it is? Sing it, buddy.
The trials of this world were getting closer. The pull I felt was more than I could bear. And I was on the verge of giving over. Strength I need to keep me in. his desire to steal away.
Seated this morning. Brother David Swanson has a song for us this morning, but there's only one catch to it. We have to help you sing it. So I think you know what it is. You had a special request to do this song, and we had a special request to help you. That came from Brother Harry. Bless you, buddy. That'll come to you after a while, maybe.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, oh, when sorrows like sea billows roll, oh, it is well with my soul. It is well. It is well.
Chapter 4, verse 20. To be able to say that with all reality is quite a thing, isn't it? To say that everything is well with your soul. Nothing between you and God. Nothing between you and brothers and sisters. Because really everything ain't right between you and God if there's anything between you and anybody else. So to be able to know that we're ready. That if this morning he were to come before the service is ended, we're ready. Or he were to call us before the service is over, we're ready. That should be the desire of every one of us here today, to be ready at all times. Amen. Second, just look again today, if you would, at 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20. I'd like to speak to you again today on the word must be quickened. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Let's look at the meaning of this word again, so you'll be able to understand what it is. For the kingdom of God is not in logos, saying of speech, what someone has said, a word, the sayings of God, decree, mandate, or order, of the moral precepts given by God, doctrine, or teaching. Now you remember the Corinthians were a very intellectual, many of them a very intellectual people. So they delighted in eloquence. They delighted in speeches and talks, and they loved that. They absolutely loved it. And sad to say, but however we are prior to our conversion, we'll battle that after we're converted if we're not careful. So here they loved eloquence and they loved speeches and they loved so much concept. So when Paul used this word logos, oh, they knew exactly what he's talking about because they speak the Greek language. So when he said the kingdom of God is not in logos only, can you imagine what it must have? Oh, it's not just in word. It's not just in debate, in theology, in great terms. Listen what he says. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power, which is dunamis. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. He says, who also has made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter, which is grammar, which is where we get our English word, of course, grammar. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. So to quote the word, to memorize the word, what is that? It's grammar. It's grammar. And that's what many folks have turned to in the message. Grammar. The grammar of the message. So to quote it, and they think that's life. But according to the Bible, that's not life. Who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5. For our gospel came not unto you in word, logos, only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. As you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And let's read this again from the Hebrews book. But you see, the scriptures, no matter how well you know them, if the Spirit doesn't quicken them, then the letter killeth, the Spirit giveth life. See, it must be quickened or made alive by the Spirit. If the Spirit doesn't liven the word and make it a reality to you, then the letter is just intellectual. Now, is there a possibility that the message can just be merely intellectual? Absolutely. As a matter of fact, Brother Ben Macker preached in the Rising of the Sun. He comes into the service and he's going to make an altar call. And he said, how many of you, maybe you've sat here, and he said, you've listened to tape after tape, and you still don't have that quickening power. So you mean people can listen to tapes and not have, they can come to Happy Valley and listen to a live preacher and not have quickening power? Absolutely. Come in Happy Valley, don't give you quickening power. Listen to tapes, don't give you quickening power. Quickening power only comes from one source, the Holy Ghost. The Spirit giveth life. See, it must be quickened or made alive by the Spirit. If the Spirit doesn't liven the word and make it a reality to you, then the letter is just intellectual. That's where we have so many confessed Christians today, or professed Christians, is that intellectual conception of Christ. Let's bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, thank you today, Father, for your grace that has appeared to each of our lives. We ask today for your help once again, Lord. See, the older that I get and the more I preach, the more incapable I feel. It doesn't make sense humanly looking at it, because as many times as I've preached, and I'm 55 years old and preaching since I was 18, in any other profession it should be that I should be getting better. But instead, I despise my humanity. I despise my failures, my weaknesses. I say words wrong, say them backwards. I despise it, Lord, because I'm a creature on the inside of me that has been birthed into a perfect world. And I live in an imperfect one. Live in an imperfect body. Hear imperfect sermons sung by, preached by imperfect preachers. Imperfect songs sung by imperfect singers. Go to church with imperfect people. So, Father, there's something in us that longs for perfection. And we'll never have it in this world. It's only in that world to come. So I pray that you'd help us today. Help me to move aside. And at the very best that I can do, the human element will still be there. So I've never preached a perfect sermon. And it's somewhat discouraging, because I know I never will. So I pray you'd help us today. Help me that I can overcome myself. Help them that they can overcome their self. That we can be able to hear what the Spirit would say, not what Donnie Reagan would say. Help us that we would be quickened by that life, Heavenly Father. We don't want to just memorize the word and to be able to quote it, but we want it to be made alive to us by the quickening power. Speak to us today, Father, I pray, in Jesus' name. And the saints said,
amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. As we looked at it last night, God's design and his plan was to be able to separate the word from quickening power, to be able to make the seed down through time work. If God had not have done that, no one in the Old Testament would have actually been able to been elect, since the Spirit would not be given until the New Testament. So every Old Testament believer was actually severed from quickening power. They had seed. It's what Brother Ben said about David. That David knew that there was a God. He knew the power was there. And the hunger was there. And the thirst was there. But he never could have that true birth. And he kept longing and looking and wanting something. Moses, as great a man as he was, and having the visitations of God and the wonderful things happen to him that he did. But yet, any believer sitting here today that has the true baptism of the Holy Ghost, you have something today that Moses was never allowed to have. Moses was a very gifted man, had great experiences with God. But Moses did not have the baptism of the Holy Ghost the way we have. Jeremiah, Ezekiel, the prophets, the great men of God that lived in their day, the Spirit of God would move upon them, come and go, come and go, come and go. But none of them had a new birth. And yet they had the Spirit of God that would move upon them, enlighten them, and quicken that part of the word to that day. But it never released to them that overcoming power. That's something that we on this side of the cross so enjoy. And yet God designed it that way, so that the word would be separate from quickening power. And he comes in the New Testament through the unity or the unison of God and man coming together. Then he makes a way that the word can finally be quickened. But it must begin in himself. So when he comes to the earth, he even divides and separates himself from quickening power. Now Jesus, when he was born, of course he was born that part of the word. Isaiah said that a virgin would conceive and bring forth a son. Now when Jesus was born, he was that part of the word fulfilled.
Because the virgin conceived and brought forth a son, he was that part of the word. But he was not Isaiah 35 fulfilled until he began to open the eyes of the blind and the lame were able to walk and all that. He was not many portions of the part of the word until he began to move up to that part, and then he made that part live. Now he was all of those prophecies in seed form when he was a baby. But yet the word was not fulfilled, so he separated himself and that allotment of the word that he was from quickening power. That's amazing to me how that he would do this. But he decided to make himself a husbandman or a partaker of the dividing of the word and the quickening power too, so that he would show us how it's done. So if he himself needed to be quickened to that part of the word which wrote about him, then truly you and I will need the very same thing. Because being the word and being the virgin birth, immaculate birth, then did that himself empower him? It did not. What it did was put him into the elite category that the blood was not sex blood. His virgin birth did not give him any Holy Ghost. His virgin birth did not make him any more of the word. The virgin birth simply separated his birth away from a natural father and then away from a sex birth. That's what the virgin birth did for the Lord Jesus. The virgin birth did not give him the Holy Ghost. It did not empower him to make him more supernatural. Do you understand, friends? The Holy Spirit of God overshadowed that virgin in order to produce that blood cell, in order to give him a birth which was not a sex birth. He still had to go to the river and be baptized. He still had to be filled with the Holy Ghost. But that virgin birth simply gave that something that would separate him away from the rest of all the human beings, that he would not have a natural sex birth. But you imagine that here when he comes on the earth, he's Isaiah 7 and Isaiah 9, 6 and all that. But yet, he was Jesus. Notice now, when the angel comes and tells Mary what to call him, he does not tell her, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus Christ." Nor did he say, "Thou shalt call his name the Lord Jesus Christ." But thou shalt call his name Jesus. He could not be Jesus Christ until he became the Anointed One. He could not become Lord Jesus Christ until after his resurrection. So look, here is the word now for his own position, that God divides that words in increments. He's Jesus when he's born, but he's not Jesus Christ. He becomes Jesus what is Christ. It is the Anointed One. So he was the Word, but he was not the Anointed Word until the presence of God comes down on him and quickens his life to the Word. Then he becomes what? Jesus Christ. Hold on now. You were bride before you ever got saved. You were seed of God, but yet you was not anointed bride until you were quickened to life. Praise the Lord. Oh, I don't want to just be bride. I want to be anointed bride. I don't want to just be a church member. I don't want to just be a message believer. I want to be a Messiah. You laugh at me, made fun of me all you want to, but that's what I'm going to be. I'm not just want to be, that's what I'm going to be by God's grace. So the Holy Ghost had to quicken that word to Jesus and make it alive. Now, if God's got one way, we look in the program of God, we find the nature of God, the attributes of God. God's got one way of doing something. So if God chose a way by which the word would be quickened to the life of Jesus, that must be the pattern that God would use for every son or daughter of God thereafter. So God chose that the word would be quickened by the Holy Ghost. Now, in doing that, when the word is quickened, it not so much that a person jumps or shouts or moves about or expresses great ecstatic emotion, and then that may accompany that. But that is not the quickening that I'm talking about. It is when that word inside of you has caught revelation over the wave sheet, and it points you to the word that is written about you for the day you live in. So the word in you which has been quickened has now received from the quickened word for the hour that you're in, and you become a part of that word by revelation. Glory. And you cannot get it just by reading it or memorizing it, but the same avenue that quickened it to Jesus Christ must quicken it to us as individuals. You believe that? Notice Brother Bam says it's only the Holy Spirit that can quicken the word. He's the only one that can put it into action. So Mary couldn't do it to Jesus. Joseph couldn't do it to Jesus. Reading the Torah couldn't do it to Jesus. The Holy Ghost is the only thing that could. Again, he says, God said the word was the seed. And the word is the seed that a sower sowed. And if the soil, if that seed, notice now, falls into the right kind of soil that's got enough fertility in it to make this seed spring to life, it'll quicken and it will live. Now you and I are that dirt, friends. We are the ones that must produce the fertility in our lives. You can set your service after service and your scriptures and quotes so they run out your ears, but they will never produce a real son or daughter of God if you don't have some fertility in your everyday walk with God. If the only time you read your Bible and pray is when you come to church, you will never grow into a mature son or daughter of God. You've got to do homework. The fertility cannot be produced just by the pastor. It cannot be produced by you living and listening to tapes. It must be something you do as well. So watch, the seed life can only respond according to the seed that is there and the fertility in the ground that will respond to it. Notice again, he said, the word is the seed has to fall in fertile soil in order to quicken it. The seed will not grow on a rock. The seed has to have fertility, and the word has to fall in faith, which is the fertility that brings the word to pass. So your body, no matter how much the organs are there, the cells, the muscles, the sinew, all the different things that's in us, yet you take our spirit out of our body, it's totally lifeless. You take the spirit of God away from the word. What have you got? You have got a whole bunch of ammunition to fight with, to debate, to argue, to fuss, to discuss. But put the Holy Ghost on that same word. It'll make you love those that want to argue with you. Take the Spirit of God off and it'll make you go home after the service and try to find every quote you can find to prove I'm wrong. Because that's the only thing you got out of the service. Because I said something that you didn't like, and that's the way you look at the Word. That's the way you study the Word. That's what the Word means to you. So it's just moving on the intellect, and you study and study and study and study and study. Well, what does it ever produce? Study and study and study and study and more study. So while we're flying away, you're going to be studying, studying, and studying, more studying. Now, you know, Brother Branham, when he was here, we mentioned this last night a little bit, that in the denominations, the way they were missionarying the world was by passing out tracts. Brother Branham says, after all, passing tracts is not preaching the gospel. So then let's bring it down to the message and the message tracts that we pass out. Now, I'm not against that now. But if we are trying to replace that and take those tracts or take those books or take those tapes and replace the preaching of the gospel, don't you see where we are? Right back under the spirit of organization. We are another denomination. Because our thinking is the same as theirs. That handing out a tract, handing out a book, telling about somebody about Brother Branham, that that's all they need. But that's not what he said. So therefore I have a problem with that. And so does God. And so will you if you're saved. Of course, if you're just organizational message person, you won't, you'll love it, because that's what you are. But if you're really born of the Spirit of God, anything that's against God's against you. So passing out tracts is a very great thing, you know, and they thought they were doing a great work and not saying anything against that sort of thing unless it becomes to replacement. Notice he said the gospel came not in word only, said Paul, but through power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. See, you do not just teach the word, but preach. Make manifest the word. The word has to be made alive. It's a dead letter. So what if every preacher in the message totally quits preaching? And we start just handing out Bibles every Sunday. So y'all stand out here next Sunday, and I'll be in Phoenix. The Deacon brothers will start handing everybody a Bible. Brother Dale Smith is supposed to be here, but I'll call and cancel that. And we'll just start handing out Bibles to everybody because this is the pure Word of God. Absolutely pure. And let's see how long you folks still want to attend this church. Then we'll do that for a month and then we'll trade and we'll start handing out tapes or books. We'll do that for a month. It's the Word of God. I'll say many more bad things or wrong things or human errors and that sort of thing, you know, in one Sunday than you'll ever find in this Bible. There ain't none. God watch over that Word. Come on now. So let's just go back and add to the pure Word and we'll hand that out. Now let's not start with the message. Let's go right here first. Because the message has got all kinds of human things in it too. Or Brother Brenner misquoted things and used the wrong date or the wrong scripture. Or I don't know. So it's got all those human things in it too. So let's go back to the perfect thing first. And hand it out. Do away with all preaching. Do away with completely with Brother Branham. So if we're going to do away with preaching, let's do away with Brother Branham too. And let's go back straight to just the pure, holy scriptures. And let's see how many folks still got victory in a month. Let's see how many folks are getting healed in a month's time. And let's see how many folks are getting saved and filled with the Holy Ghost and getting power to overcome the devil. And what we'll do, we'll start playing Alexander Scorby. And you can sit there and go through your Bible with Alexander Scorby as he reads to us the Bible. And we will be hearing the Word of God straight from the Bible. But that's not the gospel. See, it don't make sense. For us looking at it, Brother Phil, humanly, it don't make sense that God would want a preacher to get up there and a preacher is going to say things wrong and he's going to have his own human expression and God would choose that over having just somebody to stand up there and just read word for word for word for word for word for word in monotone and they never move and they never have no human mistakes and they just stand there and read the pure Word of God. But instead, God chose a foolish tool called preaching. Preachers are some of the biggest fools that there is. Go ahead and say, man, it don't bother me. I know it is. Foolishness of preaching. That's what it is to the world. It's absolutely foolish. It makes no sense. But for some reason or another, God chose it. Now, whenever a preacher preaches the Word, oh my, how wonderful, how powerful. And yet we do not wait. Now, don't think in your mind that I'm thinking, well, are you saying then whenever a preacher preaches then at the end of the preaching, then he prays for the sick and that's demonstrating the Holy Ghost? Huh? That's not what I'm saying then. Right. Now, it will happen that way. Why do you have to wait till after I get done for it to demonstrate? Why cannot that word be quickened inside of your heart while I am preaching that word and you're seeing what God is doing and saying? It's tradition that we think we have to wait till the end of the service. Ma, I don't know how sometimes you sit there and sit still. Watch, Brother Ben said the word has to be alive. It's a dead letter until it's manifest. And then it's quickened and brought to pass what God said about it. That's the gospel in action, the New Testament Christianity. Oh, glory. 2/3 of the world tonight has never heard of the Lord Jesus Christ. How can he come? He will come when the gospel has been preached. Not passing tracts now. They're all right, passing tracts. But preach the gospel means demonstrate the power of the Holy Ghost to all nations that I call as a witness. So here's Jesus. The Word of God that has been thought of and pre-planned for millions of years. And he comes on the earth as a baby, born of a virgin. At that birth, he's the Word. But he can't even preach the gospel until he gets the Holy Ghost. Woo! But his flesh was actually the literal Word made flesh. So is an oak tree. So is a pine, a maple, All the original plants, they are God's Word made bark. They are God's Word made green. They are God's Word made brown. Whatever the color they are, that is God's Word. Do you believe that? Let there be, let there be, let there be. Every time you touch an oak tree, that is God's Word made manifest. But does that oak tree have eternal life? It has perpetual life because it lays in the seed. So here was God's Word, amen, made flesh. But could it save anybody? Not in that state. Because why? Come to the earth apart from quickening power. Now even though his birth was virgin, that's the only difference in the way he come and the way you come. Because you come to the earth as a seed of God without a virgin birth. He come to the earth as a seed of God with a virgin birth in order to make a holy blood. But both of you needed quickening power. Let's jump down, brothers, to these to seal paragraph 237. Jesus was so full of quickening power. He said, you can destroy this temple that took you 40 years you thought to build, and I'll raise it up in 3 days. Why? Why could Jesus say that? I want to ask you, why could Jesus say a thing like that? He knew. He knew that he was. Amen. I wish I could make that stick. He knew who he was. But now the next question is, how did he know it? Did he know it just by reading the Talmud? Did he know it just by hearing the Mishnah and the Torah since he had heard since he was a small boy? And no doubt Jesus at the age of 12 years old had a bar mitzvah where they took him up. He entered in to become a man, and now he could stand there in the temple and read from the Torah. Did Jesus know who he was just by opening up the scriptures and reading it? No. I'll answer my own question, because I have the answer and you don't. You're wondering. It's laying before me. You won't wonder for just a few minutes. Now notice, he knew who he was. He knew that every word God wrote in there of him, he had fulfilled it. He knew he was the one that David spoke of. And then Brother Branham goes straight from Jesus and comes to us and says, do you know you're the ones the Bible speaks of? So he brings it straight from the bridegroom to the bride. This is what gives Jesus resurrection faith. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It was nothing. Said, oh, okay, let's see now. Let me see if I can turn around and find it. Oh, yeah, there it is, there it is, there it is. It was not by pointing his finger on the scripture. It was the scriptures being in him. Him being them scriptures made a human being. And those scriptures were made so real that he didn't just say the virgin shall conceive and memorize it over and over and over. But God took that word and done him the same way he's done me. And done you if you got it. If God don't do him the same way he's going to do me, it's going to be unjust for him to come another way and tell me, now you do what I done, Donnie. How can I, Lord, unless you come the same way I come? Now what do you know? You're the ones the Bible speaks of. And the congregation says, amen. Do you know your position? Notice Brother Bam didn't say in the message. He says in Christ. If you're in Christ, you're a new creature. Do you know this word is just like everyday living to you? This ain't something we do on Sunday. This ain't something 3 days a week. Brother Louis, it's our life. It's what we think about. It's what we live. We do our business according to this word. We obey the word of God, the laws of the land. It's all according to this word. It's our everyday living. Amen. Notice he knew by the power of God he would do it.
not his own ability, not his own strength. Jesus, the man, could only overcome by Christos. One of these days, if you don't know it already, you're going to learn. It ain't going to be Junior. It ain't going to be Jerry. It ain't going to be Don. It ain't going to be Dal. We ain't going to overcome that way. But if I'm an overcomer, it'll be because Donnie the Christ. Phil the Christ. Amen! JD the Christ. Oh, you say, how could you dare say that? How could you dare not say it? And say you believe the message of the hour when Brother Brown told us even 1962 that the bride is Messiah. What, she is the anointed one. Not a bunch of theologians, but anointed by his presence to make that word live. Do you know, sir, Brother Benjamin asked that question there. Do you know your position in Christ? You didn't say Jesus. Many of you know your position in the message. You know your hierarchy. You know who you come under. You know who you've been identified with down through the years. All the different moves. But do you know your position in the anointed one? Well, I used to go to Arkansas and I went over here and I done this and I done that now. But do you know your position in the anointed word of this hour? Do you know as bride what you're supposed to be doing? If you want to leave, you better be finding out, because that's all part of leaving. He knew that by the power of God he would do it, because it was prophesied he would do it. That's the reason. That's the reason. He wasn't scared to say, destroy this temple. The reason he was not scared to say it was because he knew by revelation. Not that he could point at a quote, but Brother Ram called my name. Brother Ram ordained me to preach. Brother Ram laid hands on me. Paul said this. But Jesus could look there in the word. And he saw the written word, the Logos. But that thought of God had been quickened to him. Said, this is you. And you are this. He's referring to a real predestinated seed. It's the word to the word. The word written to the word spoken. Don't miss the great symbolism in that eagle story. What was the paradox of that? That eagle down on the ground saw something up in the sky. What was it? An eagle to an eagle. An eagle to an eagle. Amen. He was able to look up to her and see something that he himself bore the same image of. The word to the word and the word to the word. A real believer in this message, they don't sit and listen. They're not listening for human errors. They're not listening where Brother Man said they're wrong. They're not, they know those things are there, but they don't make them infallible, so those things don't bother them. But what they're listening for is that word, something to get them out of here, something to change them. The word to the word. But others take the word to the mind. This message is not a message of our minds. It's a message of the heart. Only children can be turned from the heart, so the rest of the folks who are in the message will get it in their head. The bride will get it in her heart. Notice this. This is why Jesus was not afraid. You understand, a child of God that's eat up at cancer. And they pray and they pray and they pray. And it seems like God's not going to move. They're able to look death right in the face. If it's been quickened to them, I'm part of his resurrection. And they can look death in the face and say, destroy this temple. And at the resurrection, it will be brought up. Destroy me. If God allows you to take my life, if God allows you to take my memory, or God allows you to take me, I don't even know who I am. Destroy this temple. And at the resurrection, I will raise it up again. Do you understand how Christians can enter into death and have no fear? It's quickened to them. Lord Jesus. David, because David said, I'll not leave his soul in hell, neither will I suffer my Holy One to see corruption. He knowed not one cell of his body would corrupt. And it corrupts in 72 hours. And he said, destroy this temple and I'll raise it up again. Why? Listen, why? He was so full. Not of the word. Not of the scriptures. Not of the Logos. He was so full of quickening power. What's quickening power? Gas. Wonderful. Gas is wonderful. It's mechanics. But what's the quickening power? Spark. Steering wheel is wonderful on that Cadillac of yours. Polished tubs. My, the diamond plates. All the, it's all wonderful. But you got to have spark. And the spark is hidden inside the engine. It's not something really visible so much on the outside. So Jesus wasn't just full of the word. He didn't stand and say, glory to God, David said, and Micah said, and Haggai said, and Jeremiah said. He had confidence that he was full of quickening power. I am not only Jesus. I am Jesus Christ. I am not only Jesus. I am not only a virgin born son. I am a Holy Ghost filled son, he could say. And he could look death in the face and do as Arnold von Winkler did and said, today I give my life for Switzerland. And he found the heaviest part of the spears and the swords and the staves, and he ran right into the middle of and pulled them into his bosom. Jesus, full of quickening power, could look death in the face. He could tell the scribes, the Pharisees, all the rest of them, destroy this temple and in 3 days I'll raise it up again. Amen. Notice how Christ, speaking of Jesus, Lord God, hallelujah, destroy this temple, Jesus, and I, Christ, will raise it up. Destroy this, Jesus, and I, the anointed Christos, I will raise it. So he could pull the swords of death into his bosom and say, I'm full of quickening power. So let sickness come. Let tests come. Let trials come. I'm full of quickening power. I won't just meet them on my intellect of the word, on my knowledge of my ability to quote scriptures. Because the devil can outquote me any day out of the week. Come on. You might as well say amen and I'll quote you too. As a matter of fact, if you quote something wrong, he'll correct you. You believe the devil quotes the word? How come it don't give him life? If this contains quickening power, how come he can quote that word and it don't produce one thing? It can actually produce bondage. The word will kill you. The devil can take that word and wear you out with it. He can take quotes and make you so down and so despondent because they can be severed from quickening life. But let a man of God anointed by the Holy Ghost take that same quote the devil's using against you with quickening power and resurrects you right there in the pew. And you say, my Lord, the devil told me that same thing. It sounded different. Sure he did. That Son of God's got eternal life. He was so full of that quickening power that quickened every word. You mean him being the word didn't quicken the word? No. This is God's example seed son. However he deals with him, he's got to deal with me. If he comes to the earth full of quickening power and quickening word altogether, I've got to do the same thing if I'm a son coming from the same book. His name's on top, mine not down on the bottom somewhere. So he separates himself.
He said, I'll be the Word. I'll become the Word. But I must receive quickly. When I read the Scriptures, Father, make me like them. So when I read it, that I've got to reread it and reread it and reread it. And then you, Father, quicken it to me. So I'll understand how they will feel when they pick up their Bible or they pick up a message book to read it, and they read it and read it and don't get nothing out of it.
And then they come to church, and the very first they read from, the preacher reached from, and it just explodes on them. Have you all said that happened to you over and over again? Notice this. He was so full of that quickening power that it quickened every word. He looked back and seen every word God wrote of him. Look back. So you mean he didn't look forward from where he was? He didn't know it immediately? Oh, children, hear me. He looked back. He didn't have it all when he was born. He didn't have it all when he was 12 years old. But he had to look back from some point. My Lord. He looked back and seen every word God wrote of him. And the prophet said he fulfilled it. He knew that would be fulfilled too. Now he knew it would happen because the Word said it was. And every word wrote of him. Notice now how he links the Word to quickening power. He knew every word of him would be fulfilled. He knew that it was written. How? By the power of God. By the holy prophets that would prophesy he would be so. So he takes the logos, the mandate, the decree. But he needs the quickening power to come on it. To let them unite. So here's the logos. He'll be this. He'll be this. He'll be this. He'll be this. All of a sudden the quickening power comes over it. The Word to the Word. And Jesus sees it. Don't misunderstand me. But it's like Jesus catches a revelation. Oh, I know it shocked some of you Jesus owners, but I'm going to keep on shocking you till I get you shocked out of it. Because you ain't never going to see yourself if you don't see him. He set this law. Why don't you let him set the law? He done it for your benefit. Notice in Easter still he says, now is the promised Messiah. He quickened every word that was prophesied he would do. Heal the sick. Have be born of a virgin. All that. It's true. He was the Word manifested here on earth. Read it. It taken the Spirit of God dwelling in him to quicken. I about tore up my basement when I found this. And this is that one of them sermons I've been listening to for the last 2 months, over 70 times. No telling how many times altogether I've listened to it, and I'm just listening, going along, and I've heard that. I said, man, I ain't never heard that before. Yeah, you have 69 times before this. But the Holy Ghost has a time. He has a season. We think Jesus knew it all. I guess because we're looking at it through our eyes. Since most of us think we do. But Jesus didn't know it all. As a matter of fact, he wasn't it all when he was first born. Scripture says in Luke 2:52, he grew in wisdom and stature before God and man. That's what your Bible says, believe it or not. So you imagine all of his young childhood. Now Mary knew there was an insight. She knew there was something special about him. Did Mary know where to go in the Scriptures? They didn't have a computer database of the Old Testament where Mary could type in Psalms 22 and then have little cross references, little asterisks in the middle of the Bible where it'd go over and connect to Messianic prophecies and be able to go back. Schofield hadn't lived during that time and made all his footnotes down at the bottom of the page. How could Jesus scroll through all them scrolls of the Old Testament? The Spirit leading him.
Psalms 22:1, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Oh, my bones, they stare at me. They push their lips out at me on and on and on and on. Amen. Spirit, quickened at time. I said, oh, my God, that's me. Do you understand? And when you as a Christian have even that part of the word quickened to you, it helps you when you face it. We'll look at it, Lord willing, Wednesday night in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And Paul said, I knew a man above 14 years ago, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. But such a one was carried up into paradise, into the third heavens, and he saw things that was not lawful for a man to utter. And he said, because of the abundance of the revelation that was given unto me, there was a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, that was sent to buffet me at any time, lest I should be exalted above measure. He said, so therefore of this one I can glory. Watch Paul separate himself from himself. In that one I can glory, but in this one I can only glory in my infirmities. You understand what a revelation that is? That man knew he needed that on the flesh to keep him down humble, to keep him from being arrogant and proud. And God had quickened that to him. I'm not going to heal you.
And once God quickens him, I said, well, praise God, I'll glory in my infirmities.
Hallelujah, I'll glory in my infirmities. So God not only quickened to Jesus, the mighty conqueror, the serpent bruiser, but you imagine a father having to quicken to him. I'll turn my back on you. I'll leave you in the Garden of Gethsemane and you'll die, man. I'll forsake you. Not only they stick their lips out, I'll turn my back on you. How could he face this without the quickened words? You know why we falter and fail? Because we don't go to God in the right way and say, God, quicken me during these storms. You try to rely on your intellect and your memorization of scriptures and quotes and think that'll do it alone. It will not do it, my friends. You'll fall flat on your face quoting quotes and scriptures unless those things are quickened to you in the time of test. Come on, be honest and look back and realize that not most of our tests and our affairs, we was quoting scriptures right in the middle of all of them. Is the scriptures wrong? Are the quotes wrong? Not at all. They're not clickings. Oh. Does anybody believe this besides me? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. It taken the Spirit of God dwelling in him to quicken these promises. To him. I hope Brother Bram says that we get this real clear now. I do too. Amen. Jesus being a man himself, the body. But it took the Spirit in him. The Spirit, it's not me that does the works. He said it's my Father that dwelleth in me. He's the one that does the works. He was a man born of a virgin, but he'd taken the Spirit of God to quicken that word to him. Now listen, what a mystery. He was the word quickened. The word quickened for that hour. We think, many of us, many of the message folks, they think all the word for this hour is listening to a prophet. That's why they promote it the way they do. Just listen to tapes and say what he said and say what he said. And the devil can say the same thing. So if saying what he said will put you in the rapture, when you go up, that's going to be the devil right there beside you. Lord have mercy, if he's going to be in the rapture, I'd just soon stay here and go to the tribulation pit. Thank you, Lord. That's a good one. Some of them didn't like it, but it's good, isn't it? Do you understand why God had to separate the Logos from life? If not, Satan would have access to creative powers. Boy, he can quote that word. Can't make it live. Because the word alone cannot create. The word by itself causes confusion. The word by itself has caused splits in churches. Come on now, you might as well say amen. The quickened word never causes no confusion. It never causes, now I'm talking about among the elect now. Because the quickened word brings the elect to their position. But that word without the Spirit, Satan would have access to it. He'd have created more worlds, more demons. So God severed quickening power from Logos. So the Logos can be in God's mind for aeons of time. Then God decrees it, allows it to be spoken by his mouthpieces, his prophets. Satan waits to hear it. Then he catches it. He says, okay, this is what God wants to do in this day. This is what's on God's mind. Then he takes that Logos, that mandate, and goes to trying to make a hybrid copy of it. But he ain't never had access to that quickening power. Do you understand as a child of God today the advantage and the opportunity that's been given to you? That you sat here today on the very same position with Jesus Christos. And he is not ashamed to call you brothers. As a matter of fact, your prophet told you, if you've got one little speck of God, you have got enough of that creative power in you to create a world out there and go live a private life on it. Now that ain't quickened to most of us. We just sat there and say, well, yeah, that's what he said. That's exactly right. That's what he said. And it's not quickened to us, but it's the truth. But we watered God down, watered him down. But it's the same essence of his character. If I've got the Holy Ghost, it's the same Holy Ghost that said in the beginning, let there be light. And you today that's got the Holy Ghost, men, women, boys, and girls, that power in you could create universes without end. You could make in the stellar your universe billions of stars. Because your daddy got it. And you're a chip off the old block. But God controlled that by law, and that law is faith. If there was not a law to it, there wouldn't be nobody here in church today. We'd all be out living in our own universe. And I wouldn't be here either. I'd be over in mine and tell you to stay in your own. Mine's your own universal business. Mine would be making more stars and dust and all that. But God says no. But can you imagine that devil? He didn't wonder he hates you. He'd give everything in his kingdom to have access to that great power. The word of God, my friends, the devil is not scared of the letter. He quotes it. He memorizes it. He uses it. Hold on. The devil ain't scared of quotes. He uses them in this message right and left. What the devil's scared of is a quickened life who takes that word, glory to God, and goes to speak in that word and believe in that word, and maybe nothing happens. They speak to the mountain, get out of my way, mountain. And nothing happens. But on the backside of that mountain, where their eyes couldn't see, a little speck of sand. A little speck of sand rolled down. That means the mountain's going to move. The devil's dealt with enough of these Christians to have guards posted all around our mountains. We only look on the front side. The devil's got guards on the back side. And they come back and tell him, oh no, devil, oh no. A little tiny speck of dust rolled on the back side of that mountain. We're in trouble. It's moving. It's coming down. It's coming down, devil. It's coming down. Can you imagine him? With all of his demons gathering down in hell. How can they do that? I can outquote them. I can outpreach them. I can outsing them. I saw him standing there. He was so scared when he said that. His knees was knocking. How is it that he could take that word and place it on his lips? And when he said it, it was as if though God himself spoke it. Because it's deity speaking, my friend. But will it do it just by me memorizing scriptures, memorizing quotes? No. But if the one who spoke those quotes, I ain't talking about Brother Branham either, but Christ can take that word, and if he can frame it on my lips, though I may be shaking and quivering and thinking, what's people going to say? What's people going to say? And I may be quivering and thinking, in the name of Jesus, I condemn this mess. I command it to leave your body. In the name of the Creator. If I can get Donnie out of the way and scared of some what the message critics is going to say, and they go, oh, there, he's trying to make something out of himself. Oh, he's trying to be this, trying to be that. And let him say that word. Put that word, or you and yours are home, and ain't no preacher around you, and you've got a sickness or a demon challenge you. And you lay your hands on your body and say, you devil, in the name of the word, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I resent you from attacking my body. Friend, this ain't just good for the preacher. Brother Tony, what are you trying to get? I'll tell you what I'm trying to get. I'm trying to get a bunch of people on this hillside that will take this word and use it the way you're supposed to. Your babies get sick, you housewives, to realize you don't have to call a deacon. You don't have to call your pastor. But you got Holy Ghost hands. You're a mama filled with the Holy Ghost. Your baby burning up with a fever. Lay them godly hands on that fever. Say, Satan, depart from my child. I'm a daughter of God. You have no right here. Hallelujah. Can it be quickened to you? Or if you brought it down to the prophet and stopped, you brought it down to me and stopped. Oh, if I could see it like Brother Donnie, if I could just see it. Friends, you're not concerned about seeing it like me. No doubt in my position, there'll be things in the word I see you'll never see. You're not ordained to. What you want is your capacity. You want where God's chosen you to walk and live in the abundance of it. I'm called to deal with demons and publicly cast out devils. Most of you will never be called to deal with that. You may be called to deal with it in a more private manner. The devil gets on your boy at home. And he goes to getting all smart mouthed and all caught up, and you lay hands on him and say, son, that devil's leaving you. You don't have to post it on your Facebook. I am now an official caster out of devils. That's your little ministry that God's gave you at home. You use it there. But what is it? When these scriptures and these quotes that we have memorized them till we've drove them in the ground, but are they quickened? It's taken the Spirit of God to quicken that word to him. And he was the word quickened. So here he is, the word. Then the Spirit comes and quickens that word to him. Then he becomes what he's quickened to. Now he becomes the quickened word. Hold on. He was the message of the hour. The word quickened. For that hour. Notice in perfect faith. He's referring to the disciples. Now how the disciples have been given authority by Jesus to cast out the devils and heal the sick. They had the power, but they didn't have faith to operate the word that was in them. So they had power delegated not by birth, but by authority. I give you authority. Heal the sick, cast out devils, so on and so on. So now being seed, they have the word. So they are word and they have delegated authority. And they still can't make it work. Because they don't have faith in who they are to make it work. They're taking his word for it. Good Lord have mercy. Any of you police brothers got an extra vest you could spare? I might need one. Preaching like this is going to get me killed. You mean Jesus told them to do it and they had the word, but they didn't have faith because it come from him to them. And they had not experienced it. Oh my goodness. They didn't have faith to operate the word that was in them. See what I mean? But Jesus had it. He was the word and he had faith that what he said would happen. Now remember, he's been quickened, so it gives him that supernatural element of revelation that they don't have. He tells them, now go do this and go do that and go do that. And whenever they come up against the epileptic child, they tried and they tried and they tried and they just couldn't do it. Lack of authority? No. Lack of word? No. Lack of faith in their position. They're operating under a second command. Can I have a few more minutes before we close? Now watch, when Jesus comes up, he had faith with his power. How did he? He said, I can do nothing in myself. Why? He relied upon what he was. He relied in knowing he was, oh my, knowing... He relied in knowing what he was. He relied in knowing that he was the Word. He had faith in God who made him the Word. He was God the Word. Friends, can you honestly say that you, the seed, the gene, is God the Word? We stutter, don't we? We stammer. We have a hard time saying it. You know why? You cannot separate yourself from yourself. And this is why it's not the word don't work. It's not that the word's not powerful. But you're like the disciples. We, as human beings, get like the disciples. Well, they told me I could do it, but I don't know. I mean, if I was Jesus, I mean... Remember Brother Branham sitting at the breakfast table with his wife? He said a man had sitting there that had supported his meeting, the building or a vehicle or something, and fell on the man, crushed him, crushed his liver, crushed his kidneys, giving him just a short time to live. Sitting there and he told Sister Meany, he said, oh, if Jesus was here, if Jesus was here, he'd go down there and lay his holy hands on him and say, get up from there, you're made well. He said, but wife, I was just a sinner. But he said, God would give me a vision. And he said, then I got to thinking, but if God did give me the vision, it'd still be the same unholy hands. Brother Ben had faith in Jesus. He had faith that Jesus was here. But all of a sudden, it became quickened to him. He said he went down and laid hands on him and said, come up from there. That night, he was in the meeting. Glory to God. Why he was not quickened to him of 2,000 years ago? He needed something right then. Is that story wonderful? It is. But don't just stop at that story. Let's bring it up to right now. Make it the gospel, not a historical event in 1964.
Now let me close with this thought. If Brother Branham were to be here this morning. And y'all had whatever need it was. And Brother Randall's going to form a prayer line. How many of you would know beyond a shadow of a doubt? You'd be healed. You'd be delivered. You'd get the Holy Ghost. What if I would have the same prayer line instead of Brother Randall being in front of me? Well, automatically, some of you wouldn't come. Or what if you have the same need at home tomorrow and I'm not around? You see, it weakens each time we step down. Why? Loss of understanding in our position. If Brother Branham were to go around and tour the message churches, oh my, that'd be miracles, that'd be signs, that'd be wonders, what would it be? A repeat of Pentecost, second pull. So their faith is anchored on what? The word? The man praying. So, oh my, they have such faith. Oh, glory to God. That's why when Brother Billy Paul comes and prays for people, that's why so many people get healed. Because they have such faith in that man, which is a shame, really. That we not so much would have confidence in Brother Billy Paul, but that we would put faith in a man more than we would in God's word. So we have more faith in this man praying for us than we would God's promise in his own word, in our own selves, in our own walk with God. So, does Brother Branham being on the platform, if he could be here this morning, does that make Jesus greater than what Jesus is right here, right now? Does me being on the platform preaching to you make Jesus greater than it would be tomorrow when you're in the middle of a trouble or a battle or a trial? Is not Jesus the same when you walk out them doors as he is when I'm standing here preaching to you? So it's not his greatness, it's not his power, it's your faith and your position. Don't misunderstand me. But I've got just as much confidence right here today that if I were to have a prayer line and pray for the sick, God would move just as much as he would at Brother Branham or Paul or Peter or James, the sinner right here by me. You're bragging! I am. And my Jesus. Why do you think Brother Branham said it over and over and over and over again when he would have a prayer line and he would say, I want you pastors to come up here and stand by me. So the people will not think that the evangelist is the only one that can pray for the sick. And Brother Branham there, what was it, in Phoenix whenever he was there in 64, he said, whenever I come up there, or 63, whenever I come up there, he said, by the time most of the people, all these pastors, was down here at the end of the line, and Brother Branham was at the head of the line. And he said, by the time most of those people in the prayer line got to me, there's already healed. Because your pastors had prayed for you and God had honored their prayers. But do the people believe that? No. Not the people in the message. Anyway. Now, them people did because they had confidence in their pastors. Shame, ain't it? Pentecostal people could have confidence in theirs and message. People ain't got much in theirs. And yet, we're the greatest people on the earth, are we? Do you have faith? Can you take that word? And even if you... Oh, I can't remember one scripture. Oh, Lord. Oh, God. I have no victory. Oh, my. Friends, what about people who lose their mind? What about when old age sets in on you and you won't be able to recall... let's see, what was that scripture in John? Oh man. Boy, used to, I can remember the scripture. Oh my goodness. Oh, so I guess I'm losing victory, huh? Not if I got quickening power. Not if I got quickening power. If I get to a spot, I get old Alzheimer's. If I get to a spot, I got totally insane. And y'all come to a nursing home to see me. And I'm sitting there spit running out of my mouth. And I don't even know who I am or who you are. If I've got that quickening power. It's mine in a wheelchair. It's mine with Alzheimer's. It's mine when I don't even know my name. I'll never, never leave it. Let me read the rest of this quote to you. Brother Branham said he was God, the word that was in him. That gave him faith because he understood his position. So it wasn't enough just to find his position in the word. He had to understand his position. And when he understood it, it released to him a faith that he needed that just reading it would not give him. So he understood his position.
He knowed what he was because the scripture had said he was this. And your every scripture tied in to prove that it was exactly what the scripture said he would be. And he knew what he was. Listen to this. Therefore, he relied. He relied upon what God had made him. Isn't that wonderful? So is the next line. If he did that, then can't we rely upon what God has made us as believers? These signs shall follow them that believe. He had faith in what he was. And if you are a believer, you have faith in what you are. You are a believer. Oh, glory. You believe this, believers? Let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, I pray today, Lord Jesus, you'd be able to take my poor, feeble efforts. May they be able to get something out of it, Lord, that will help them see who they are. I hear Brother Branham say it as I listen to his tapes, and he said, I always like to read the word, he said, in a service, because my words are the words of a man, and they will fail. But he said, no, I know if I read his word, you'll be blessed, even just by hearing that. So, Lord, with all the scriptures and all the quotes that I've read to them today, if there's nothing out of what I said that they could even get, they should be able to be benefited by their effort of coming to church today or what they heard read to them. Yes. But may it be more than that, Lord. Quicken it to us. I've been like them disciples. Lord, I must be honest and say there have been times in my life that if Brother Branham would have stood on the platform, I would have expected much more out of you. But as I grow and I mature, I realize you're the same whether or not Brother Branham is here. That prophetic gift is not here to express you in that way, certainly. And none of us will ever do that. There's only one to a generation. But Hebrews 13:8 is not William Branham the same yesterday, today, and forever, but Jesus Christ. And Paul didn't say just Jesus, the body, the man, but Jesus anointed. So, Father, we don't want to take just the stories of you as a boy and the crucifixion and all the wonderful things, the man. We thank you for that. But Christ, Lord Jesus, may you help us. In the book of Acts, when they stood there and the first time they was able to say it, God hath made this same Jesus both Lord and Christ. So now he moves in to his apostolic calling, his position in the book of Acts. He could not be identified that way in the four Gospels. But now he had moved also into another dispensation of Lord Jesus Christ, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Father, I pray you'd help us. Forgive us of our weakness, our failures, our mistakes as humans. Our fear, Lord, at times when we take the word, we try to make it work. Forgive us for the times that we failed and blamed you for it. Jesus, make us strong. Give us faith, Lord. Give us faith in what we are and what you have made us to be. Not in our flesh, but in bride, in believers. Grant it, Lord. Grant it, Lord. Let me read this to you, friends. I want to let you listen to it. It's so profound. I know I've read it to you probably hundreds of times in the last 20-some years I've been here. But Brother Branham says here in Perfect Faith, paragraph 68, the bottom of the quote there, it says, when the word of God comes in you, it's made manifest. For you are a believer. Now, listen what a believer is. Around the message
We use this term. Oh, is he a believer? Is she a believer? Are they believers? And what we're meaning is, do they embrace Brother Branham as a prophet? Do they embrace the message? And we call them as believers. Brother Branham never said that. That is something that we have made up ourselves. Come on now. But listen how he describes a believer. When the Word of God comes in you, it's made manifest. For you are a believer. And a believer is the faith of God that moves in you. A believer is the faith of God. Jesus was a believer. The faith of God moved in him. We call people believers because they pack a book under their armor, or they have a Revelation 10 license plate or an eagle belt. Oh, they're believers. They're believers. That's not what he called a believer. A license plate don't make you a believer. But it's when the faith of God himself moves in that believer. That's the believer. That's the believer. That's the one the message is for. That's the one the rapture is for. Because who is it? It's God, the believer. In you, a believer. Oh, Jesus. Brother Bram says, now see, he knew who he was, and therefore he had faith. Faith could produce when he knowed what he was. You mean Jesus couldn't even do things himself until he knew who he was? Friends, do we believe this part of the message or not? When he knows what he was. Now, if you abide in me, my word bind you, watch him. He'll say Jesus and jump to us. Say Jesus and jump to us. Say Jesus and jump to us. If you abide in me, my word bind you, then you know who you are. Ask what you will and it will be given. Wouldn't that be wonderful tonight if everybody come in that prayer line and say, I am a Christian. I have no condemnation. I know that my heart condemned me not. Oh my. What if it be here today, whatever your needs are. Or on the internet, whatever, where you're streaming from around the world. Needs in your body, needs in your home, in your church. And you as a believer say, I am a Christian. I am a believer. And I'm not talking about my flesh. I am the faith of God in me. That's what I'm talking about. I am a believer. God believes his own word. God and Jesus believed his own word. God and Donnie will believe the same word. God and you will believe the same word. When Donnie, the flesh don't believe it. Donnie, the flesh will reason with it. But Donnie, the soul will believe God's word. Because that is the real believer. Let's bow our heads together. I wonder here today amongst this group of people. Maybe your needs are so many that you think, Lord, I've just got so many things going on right now in my body. I've got this and that and the other, my home and my marriage. And to you, it might seem overwhelming. But remember, friends, he's able to hear millions of people praying at the same time. Can you imagine if there would be 10,000, just 10,000 right now, that would be bowing their heads praying all over the world? Some of them would be brides. Some of them would be foolish virgins. Some of them would be denomination. He's able to separate all of that. And able to hear all that accordingly through who they are, their identified position by the word. He's able to sort through every one of those prayers and know exactly how to answer them and what's the most beneficial for the person's praying. And can you imagine having that responsibility? How would you like to take just the prayers of the people right here in this building, several hundred people here today, how would you like to take their prayers all at one time and sort through them all and try to figure out how to answer them all and try to figure out what to do just in this building? Then multiply that around the world. Then if you couldn't take care of this building, you couldn't take care of the world. Unlikely you can't take care of you either, nor me. So why not cast all of our cares on him? Quit trying to reason it out and trying to figure it out. Just be a believer. And have faith in what God's made you. It's good to have faith in Brother Brown. We must have faith in Jesus. We know that. Must have confidence in your pastor, or I can never help you. But you got to have confidence in your walk with God. And if your heart condemns you today, then whatever condemns you, make it right. Clear this thing up. and then let God deal with you. Do you understand what I preached to you on this quickening power in these last several weekends? It's the process of the rapture. It'll be one step after another. Quickening, quickening, quickening. He quickened the message to us. Brother Branham being a prophet. All these different things. And the rapture, the body change, it'll only be another quickening of the thousands that you've received in your walk with God. When that word is made real to you. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord Jesus. Now, Heavenly Father, by this means of prayer, I just want to approach you again. We want to lay all of our petitions here before you. Just as the pastor of the church here, if I knew all the burdens, all the despairs, all the sorrows that's on their hearts here today, it would probably overwhelm me as a man. All that they're going through, and all that they deal with. And I love them so much. If it's left up to me, I'd eliminate a lot of that off of them. But that human love of mine will never get them through. I look at them, I feel sorry for them. But my human love would be a disfavor to them. I'd eliminate many of their trials, many of their battles. But that's one of the many, many differences between me and you. I look at them with human love and I feel sorry for them. You look at them with godly love and you know those trials will help them. So I don't want to pray today in the way of Donnie the man shepherd. I want to pray today under the influence of the Almighty. So therefore, I don't ask you to take away anything that's beneficial. I ask you only to remove those things which are needful to be removed. And if there are things that must remain to try them, then give them strength to endure it. Father, but I do ask you, help us that we can look into the pages of the Word and we read about the bride. When we read scriptures, we read about the female dove. We read about all these things. May it be more than scriptures. May it be more than types. May we be able to rise up like that little baby eagle and look up to something in the sky that he has an identity with. And may it be the Word in us adjoined to the written Word. And how is it joined? By quickening power. That we will live and manifest. Oh, it's not saying, Father, that we haven't already done many of those things we have. But we desire to do more. We desire to reflect it in a greater way. We need more of you in our lives, Father. Grant it to us today, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. And the believers said,
Amen.
The Word must be quickened. How many sees the need? When you listen to tapes, when you read your Bible, when you come to church. For years, we've prayed, God bless the service, God bless the service. We should pray that way. But I think, my friends, we should be enlightened to pray in another way. God, quicken the Word to me. God, quicken me that I can receive. When Brother Branham comes back in the night service, evening service, after preaching the rising of the sun, does God change his mind about his Word? And he comes back in that service, one of the first paragraphs in that message. And he opens up in prayer. And he says, God, we've gathered here tonight under great expectation for the quickening power to help us to recognize our position. So he culminated that great morning service in the rising of the sun in a simple prayer. The quickening power would help us recognize our position. Let's just worship him a little bit now before we go. I know you want to go eat your dinner and you got things planned today, but let's just love him a little, can we, before we go? Hallelujah.
I need more of
yes, Lord.
You. That's the way it's got to be. Lord, I need more of you.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
There's no room left in me.
Oh, yes, Lord God.
All those wasted.
Praise the Lord. Let's worship him now.
And many. Oh. there.
Let yours now, Lord God.
From the start to the finish.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
I need more.
I need more
of you.
Hallelujah, Lord.
I need more.
Oh, God.
Jesus, I need more.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Everybody now. Start to the finish. I need more. Lord, I need more. Jesus, I need more.
God bless you, saints. Loving the Lord. See you Wednesday night. Go in the fear of God.
I need more of you. Lord, that's the way it's got to be.
Till there's no wasted hours and minutes, they're yours now, from the start to the finish. I need more of you. I need more of you. Music fades and all that's slipped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's a word that will bless your heart. I bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper.